सो शुभ्रा,
आई वॉज थिंकिंग कि वी शुड टॉक अबाउट द एप्पल इको सिस्टम बिकॉज वी हैव स्पेंड सो मच मनी ऑन इट एंड मोस्ट ऑफ द टाइम द मनी स्पेंड हैज़ बीन ऑन द प्रेमाइस कि यू ऑलरेडी ओन एप्पल डिवाइसेस एंड ओनिंग दिस वन मोर एप्पल डिवाइस वुड मेक योर लाइफ दैट मच बेटर. लाइक दिस थॉट स्पेशली केम टू माई माइंड वेन दिस फ्लिपकार्ट सेल वॉज गोइंग ऑन, राइट? एंड आई बॉट सम वायरलेस ईयरबड्स फॉर प्रसाद एंड योर सिस्टर दैट वर 700 रुपीज़. एंड वी हैव ऑल्सो बॉट एयरपॉड्स प्रोज फॉर अस दैट आर 21,000 रुपीज़. सो मतलब दैट इज 300 वायरलेस ईयरबड्स वर्थ. लाइक इफ यू यूज अ पेयर ऑफ ईयरबड्स एवरी डे एंड थ्रू देम अवे फॉर अ ईयर, दैट्स हाउ मच इट वुड कॉस्ट. ऑफकोर्स आई एम नॉट क्लेमिंग कि द साउंड क्वालिटी और द कनेक्शन क्वालिटी और एनीथिंग एल्स वुड बी द सेम, बट इवन कंपेयर टू रियली गुड ईयरबड्स यू बाय सैमसंग और सम अदर कंपनी, यू यूजली प्ले पे अ स्लाइट सॉर्ट ऑफ मार्कअप. एंड इवन अपार्ट फ्रॉम द मार्कअप, बिकॉज इफ यू लुक एट द प्रीमियम एक्सेसरीज फ्रॉम एवरी कंपनी दे ऑलमोस्ट कॉस्ट द सेम. यूजअली इफ यू हैव अ सैमसंग फोन यू आर और यू हैव अ वन प्लस फोन और यू हैव सम अदर फोन, यू आर नॉट वेरी इंक्लाइंड टू बाई ऑल योर एक्सेसरीज फ्रॉम दैट कंपनी. यू आर यूजअली लाइक इफ यू हैव अ सैमसंग फोन यू माइट बाय अ सोनी पेयर ऑफ ईयरबड्स बिकॉज दे साउंड रियली गुड. बट वेन यू टॉक अबाउट एप्पल एंड यू सी अ लॉट ऑफ पीपल यूजिंग एप्पल, दे टेंड टू ओनली बाय थिंग्स फ्रॉम एप्पल. एंड वॉट डू यू थिंक, लाइक सो लेट्स स्टार्ट विद लेट्स से योर मोस्ट रिसेंट परचेज, राइट? एयरपॉड्स इज योर मोस्ट रिसेंट परचेज.
एयरपॉड्स प्रो, या
हाँ. सो व्हाई डोंट यू टेक अस थ्रू ऐसे हाउ यू लाइक यू हैव ओन्ड वायरलेस सेट ईयरबड्स अर्लियर ऑल्सो, सो व्हाट्स डिफरेंट, हाउ डू यू लाइक इट, व्हाट्स योर एक्सपीरियंस बीन लाइक?
ओके, सो फॉर द एयरपॉड्स प्रो, I mean, if I think about what led me to purchase the AirPods Pro, I don't think that I was at that moment looking to make a purchase of, you know, a wireless in-ear, you know, buds or anything like that. It just so happened that I had some space in my budget and I was thinking about what to buy, and AirPods Pro was just the decision. But you know, if I think about the other AirPods, the other earbuds that I have owned, and my vis-a-vis the experience of using the AirPods Pro, a couple of things jump to my mind immediately. One is the level of comfort that I have in wearing the AirPods Pro. Now, I know this could be, I mean, this is a very personal experience, for me. But, we had those Sony earbuds at home. What were they?
Sony WF-1000 XM3s.
Yeah, I mean, they were
and supposed... And you also had Samsung Galaxy Buds.
Yeah, but the Sony ones I mentioned specifically because they were supposed to be the best in the market in terms of sound quality at that point of time, if I remember correctly. But they were just too heavy for me to wear. They actually fell out of my ear a couple of times. And yeah, the sound quality was great, but, I just couldn't get much use out of it. When it was at our house, it was just lying there and we didn't use it for so long. And then we had the Galaxy Buds, and they were just uncomfortable. They were supposed to be smaller and therefore I thought that they would fit in my ear better, but they just hurt. And again, this could be a personal experience for me, maybe because I have tiny ears or whatever.
Yeah. But I think to your point, what you are sort of talking about at its core is good design, right?
Yeah.
And most, it just so happens that like a lot of these things that Apple sells with a markup also have decent design. I wouldn't, like, some of them might be class leading. I wouldn't say everything that Apple makes is class leading. Like, they have a very bad mouse, for example.
Yeah.
But like most of these things, and AirPods especially, are supposed to be, say, like, very comfortable and very light. And you also own a Samsung pair of buds, right? Samsung Galaxy buds, which
yeah.
are also very comfy.
No, no, I just spoke about that, right? That, you know, they were smaller than the Sony ones, and hence I thought they would fit my ear better. But they hurt my ear. Like, I was not able to wear them for an extended period of time at all.
Yeah. So both of them hurt your ear.
Yeah.
And the AirPods don't hurt your ear.
No, I've been using them. I use them for the long video calls that I have at work. And yeah, I've been able to wear the AirPods with quite a lot of comfort for really long periods of time throughout the day. I mean, you've seen me, we have back-to-back calls sometimes, so, you know, hours upon hours of calls, and they've been very comfy in my ear. So yeah, comfort has been one of the things that has really been great with the AirPods. But I think I purchased AirPods Pro at a point of time where I, because of my work, shifted from the, you know, being very entrenched in the Apple ecosystem to using Windows, Lenovo ThinkPad is my work laptop. Yeah, so I, you know, because of work, now most of my work is happening with a Windows laptop, so I'm not so entrenched in the Apple ecosystem anymore. If you don't,
so it's
count
kind of like a, so yeah, basically what you're saying is they worked great while you were in the ecosystem.
Yeah.
But now you are not in the ecosystem anymore, and that can happen to any one of us, right? We can control what personal devices we use, but very few companies let us decide what work laptop we want. So we might end up with a computer or with a phone that is not really not compatible, I would say, but not in the ecosystem. So how has your experience sort of been since then?
So a couple of things. I think the AirPods still work great with, another laptop. There's some initial difficulty in actually pairing the Bluetooth device to your laptop, but once you have that, it's in your list of paired devices.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, I would say 90-95% of the time, they do connect. As soon as you open the case for the AirPods Pro, they will connect to your laptop. There's, again, a personal experience, a very weird bug in my laptop, which happens every time I'm wearing my AirPods Pro. Not every time. Sometimes when I'm wearing my AirPods Pro and I start a Zoom call, my audio devices go, like my, I mean, I don't know what happens in the laptop, but my audio just cuts off and I'm not able to get it back until and unless I switch to a different pair of headsets. So this is just a weird bug. I don't know what is going on in my laptop. I don't know if it's related to the AirPods Pro. I have to explore that a little bit more. But it's been seamless connection, but not, of course, as great as it is when I use it with my phone, for example.
Yeah. For me, actually, the AirPods have been comfortable, but they have not lived up to the hype. Because
Why so?
I switch devices very frequently. Mostly what happens is, I am working and I usually play a podcast on my phone to listen to while I'm working. And then I have to hop on video calls intermittently. And when I hop on video calls, the way it's advertised, or at least the way I understood it, was as soon as I joined the call, the podcast would pause and I would be in the call and the AirPod would just transfer to my laptop. But maybe what needs to happen is you need to actively play some media on the other device. But it does not just automatically switch for voice calls. So I always end up having to manually switch. Which is still faster than trying to switch another set of Bluetooth headphones. Because you still have, it's always connected. It's just not using that as an audio source. So that is fine. But that seamless switching never works for me. I would be playing something on my phone and then I would start playing something on my laptop. And my thing is, I'm just as a, I don't know, like, No, I have a very short attention span. So I keep fidgeting with stuff. I'm using my laptop, I'm using my phone, using my iPad Pro, and they just don't keep up. I don't know, keep up is the right word. Maybe it's by design that, you know, you are just checking a device intermittently and your main audio stream should not stop. But for my usage pattern, it does not work seamlessly. I always have to go click and select the audio source. So,
yeah.
Mini AirPod review aside, what about so I remember that you have owned a Mac for a long time. Since 2017, you have owned a MacBook, right?
Yes.
The 2017 MacBook Pro. And then you got an iPhone.
Yes.
So, which was a hand-me-down from me.
Yeah.
But, when you owned just the two devices, if you remember, I don't know if you remember anything, but, were there, some features or workflows that were unlocked because of just owning those two devices? And, you know, things that, you know, before that you owned a OnePlus 6 that were not really possible on your OnePlus 6.
Okay. So, I think when I had the time that you are talking about was not really a time when I was, working a lot. I mean, I was a student and I was attending classes and I was taking notes, etc. But I was not, I was not continuously managing something. So I don't think I realized the kind of workflows that are possible, or I didn't take advantage of the workflows that are possible when you have these two devices. But now, when I work, because I have my office work, I also manage a blog, I realize and I recognize that there are some things that I do miss because I no longer work on my MacBook, right? So for example, I use a software or a online platform to schedule some social media posts for my blog, right? And if I've been working on my laptop on a web page, I've walked away from that. Social media posts are sometimes time sensitive, right? So if I want to post at noon, that post to go out at noon, I wish that web page would be there on my phone. So I miss that,
Why is it not on your phone? Come again?
No. So if I opened a web page, for example, if I had opened a web page on MacBook, right? And then I had walked away from my MacBook and I was sitting somewhere else.
Oh.
I could.
If you just started using Chrome, you would be able to do that.
Yeah.
On all your devices. It's just, I think you're using Safari on your iPhone and then
yeah.
you're using
Edge. On my
yeah.
work laptop.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is one thing that I miss. I really miss being able to copy and paste across devices.
Yeah, that is such
very honestly.
Underrated feature. Like, I copy paste so many things across devices. For
yeah.
example, I copy paste phone numbers. I copy paste the PIN, the transaction PINs for credit cards. I copy paste, just random things that I need that are on my phone sometimes and that are not on your laptop, because phone is like a more personal communication form of device. You often get addresses, other things on the phone that you want on your laptop and vice versa, right?
Yeah.
Some big files are there. I also remembered one time you had to reset your MacBook and you
yeah.
airdropped all your folders onto an iPhone and
yeah.
then used the iPhone as a backup for your device, right?
There are also some apps that I miss a lot. So for example, I used to be able to open up GoodNotes on my MacBook, and GoodNotes is where I take notes, and I've continued using my iPad to take notes on GoodNotes, the app, for my work. But I remember we had gone to, on that weekend that we had gone to a resort, I had left my iPad back at home. I had only carried my work laptop and all my notes were in my iPad, and I had to use the tiny screen of my phone to look at my notes because I didn't have the app on my laptop. So some of the apps also I miss. So
yeah, but that I would say if you were on an Android phone, you would have apps that ran on
true
the Windows laptops like OneNote.
Yeah, I mean, if we are going to talk about the things that are missing from the ecosystem, then yes, I do think that. So, You know, I do think that the Apple ecosystem kind of limits you a little. For example, now we have Apple TV on our actual TV at home. But I remember a while ago we used
to
have to
clarify. You mean the Apple TV streaming service?
The streaming service,
and not the Apple TV set top box, which is also Apple TV.
Yeah.
So basically, you're talking about Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, Apple TV Plus.
Sorry. That is a terrible name. Like, Apple TV Plus just seems to be like a better version of their set-top box and not a streaming service at all.
Yeah, we used to have to connect our laptop to the TV in order to be able to watch the couple of shows that we watched on Apple TV Plus whatever the name of the streaming service is. Mm. So yeah, some deficiencies do exist. I think when you are within the system, you kind of forget maybe that there are these other things. The one thing you don't forget is that you have to pay for two different cloud storage, because we use Google Photos to keep our photos.
Yeah, it just so happens that Google Photos is by far the best photo storage solution, right?
Yeah.
Because it not only helps you store your photos, it also helps you bring back memories in interesting ways. Apple Photos sort of does that, but it is always mismatching faces because they want to do everything on device and their face recognition thing is not as accurate. But on the other hand, like if you have an iPhone, because Apple sort of defaults you into storing your cloud backups on iCloud, you are basically stuck paying for iCloud after a while, because free iCloud is just 5GB and your backup is eventually going to run out at 5GB. So, like, that is an interesting segue into the services that we pay for, right? Because Apple ecosystem also includes all these services, which I don't think is like a popular use case where we are in India, but I think it's an interesting service, right? Apple One, because it offers you iCloud, it offers you Apple Music, which is, we'll talk about that. It also offers you Apple TV Plus, which is a streaming service. It also Apple Arcade, which is a gaming, like a game subscription service, and very soon it's going to offer you a VPN also. So
I didn't know that.
So yeah, and in other countries apart from India, it offers you a cult life membership also called Apple Fitness Plus.
Okay,
which will going to be launched in India soon.
Okay.
So, like, heads up to our listeners. But and in other countries, it also offers you Apple News, which is like a new subscription that is basically includes your Wall Street Journal, Forbes, and say other sort of publishers that are paywalled usually.
Right, that's interesting. I wish that that existed here also.
Yeah,
okay.
Because of how much news you read every day.
Well, I try. I fail every day, but I try.
The maximum amount of news being read in this house is one article in 1 week.
Okay, okay, fine. That aside, so
also, coming up to the services that are available in India and how much we pay for them, let's start with the most obvious one, Apple Music. What do you think of Apple Music?
I think if you are listening to songs in English, I mean, also, okay, I listen primarily to songs in English and Hindi, right? So I don't know what the experience is if you want to listen to, for example, Spanish music. So I'll just talk about English and Hindi. I think when you are listening to English songs, or, you know, artists who are singing in English, then yeah, I mean, you will find most of the songs that I listen to, at least, on Apple Music. And it's really great that you know, you can use the voice assistant, that is Siri, to search Apple Music.
Now you can use Siri to search any streaming
service. Yeah, okay, but cool. I've only tried it with Apple Music, I think, because I think that's the default setting in my
phone.
It searches on Apple Music, so it recognizes pretty well. I have not used Apple Music to listen to a lot of Hindi songs, but I think the recommendations that Apple Music gives me
are they garbage?
They are kind of garbage, yes,
because my recommendations are garbage too. Like, I have wanted to, so it's very interesting. I wanted to buy a streaming service in college, okay?
Yes.
Because I was weird that way. Because it's just difficult to download pirate songs. You know, when you want to listen to some song, you want to listen to it then. So streaming, I always liked it. So Spotify was not available in India, so that is out. Then there is Gaana and Saavn, which were Indian home, our homegrown Wink Music, our homegrown streaming services, which didn't have all the English songs I listened to. So that was a big problem. And then Apple Music launched on Android in India at 100 rupees. And for students, it was only 60 rupees a month. So that's when I got it. I think I was one of the earliest people in India to get Apple Music. Like, got on day one, really excited. And it was great, pata hai. Because in college, I had a lot of free time. And my music listening experience was not recommendation driven at all. It was purely discovery driven. Where people would tell me, because my friends are also in college, everybody was free. They were consuming a lot of new media. So they would be like, listen to this, listen to that. And that's what I would do. I would also follow artists intently. And it was not recommendation driven at all. But as everything has become more and more recommendation driven, I have wanted to love Apple Music so much. Because I love its interface. I think it's a very clean interface. It supports a better quality of music. It supports lossless music, which is also like through CarPlay can be played in my car, but also like sounds great on speakers and a really nice pair of headphones that I own. And also it has that lyrics, sort of karaoke-esque lyrics interface that I think is amazing. But the recommendations are so bad that I can never get behind it. I always end up switching back to YouTube Music just because YouTube Music's recommendations are so good.
Yeah, I agree. I think I also switch back to YouTube Music, especially, I mean, I don't have that great a memory also in terms of the songs that I have heard. So I'm able to type some random words and get a better result on YouTube Music, get similar songs on YouTube Music, and I think also playlists. I think when I play a random song on YouTube Music, it is better able to suggest songs in the similar genre and you know, continue that mood or that tempo of songs much better. And whenever I've played a song on Apple Music, it very quickly, you know, devolves into some music that is very random. You know the music that is following, or the automatic playlist that is generated after the first couple of songs that I have played. So yeah, I also kind of switch back to YouTube Music quite often.
Yeah, and not only that, what ends up happening is I have also gone to the extent of uninstalling YouTube Music so that I only use Apple Music. And
okay.
It didn't work. I reinstalled YouTube Music. It is just insane. So I have tried liking their naturally recommended playlists.
Okay.
They were not very good. So I felt that maybe I should import all my playlists from YouTube Music to Apple Music. And then its recommendation engine will learn what I like. Didn't work.
Okay.
I have just put in a lot of time and effort to getting that, because it's the only lossless option available currently in India. It also supports surround sound on my AirPods. So exactly, right? The ecosystem benefits, I have a huge upside, and YouTube is soon going to be coming up with a premium subscription where they will not bundle music with YouTube and it will be cheaper. And I would like to be able to not pay for multiple music streaming services because it's waste. And right, but it's just not working out. Yeah, they better improve their recommendations soon, or I will say give up my.
And we've had all three, right? We've had Apple Music, we've had
Spotify,
and YouTube Music.
To be honest,
I don't understand why
people are raving about Spotify. Also, I think the only people who rave about Spotify are the people who have not used YouTube Music, because. Matlab, I didn't like Spotify is in the same bag for me as Apple Music. Yeah, I think that if YouTube's recommendation engine, because it works on their video side as well, is just so powerful now. It knows, it has an intimate relationship with you.
Yeah.
And
I think you know, especially when we start listening to Bollywood songs, I think the difference that you have. If I mean, if you're listening to pop music, like English pop music, then Apple Music and YouTube Music, you know, will have similar songs on their playlist, especially the recent hits, etc. But if you start listening to Bollywood music, then YouTube Music is just so much, so much better.
Yeah, so this is like a downside that we ended up discussing, right? You're paying for a subpar service because it's bundled together with other things you want. And there are some bits of that service that would be better, that would help us utilize our hardware that we own better. But it's still subpar, and we are sort of in this place where we are paying for more things than we need and getting less value.
Yeah, but amongst the services that we do pay for, I mean, we have that Apple One subscription for our family. So I think the service that most excites you, and I've stopped using it as much now because work has started with some intensity, but I used to use it, is Apple Arcade.
Yeah, I was about to go there. Apple Arcade is amazing. I think people don't use it and give it as much credit. Like, they have so many great games. Like, they spend so much money on developing their original IP. And I think games like that wouldn't even be possible on traditional mobile business models that games adopt. Because it's just the expensive games that require upfront development cost. And unless a company is willing to pay that, game studios will not take a risk of, you know, developing a game like that. And just this pathless, this that game that you played about death, I forgot the name of that game.
Even I've forgotten. Okay.
It's a game about death. It sounds very dark. It is dark, but it's very, very nice. Then there is the Samurai Jack game that I absolutely love. And now they have started just including, you know, classic mobile games for free. And none of these games have any ads, any in-app purchases, any sort of... they don't have any tracking.
Campfire
was that game.
Yeah. That's the game. Yeah.
The name is kind of silly, given that it's about death.
Yeah, it's a very cute... I mean, it's such a cutely designed game. The characters are so cute. The movements are so smooth. I loved playing it. You know, I mean, I'm usually not that much into games, and I just kept playing
exactly.
it till I finished
it. I think
it.
Apple Arcade is great. How much do we pay for Apple One? You know, 300 rupees.
365 per month.
For a family.
For a family.
Which
yeah.
is very reasonable, I think, because for as much as we use Apple Music a little bit, and iCloud, which is like 250 GB a month.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact details. I can find out.
No, it's
yeah.
okay. So... to like whatever cloud storage you get for backups and storing our files, which works great on Macs also.
Yeah.
And the arcade and that's it, right? That's what we get.
Yep.
It's not too bad. I just wish the music service was better, because I think that would anchor the entire subscription down really well. But yeah, I can get behind it.
We didn't talk about the shows that we watched.
Oh,
I mean,
Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
Yep. Second best service in that ecosystem for sure. Made some really great shows. I highly suggest watching
For All Mankind. Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso is amazing. Everybody needs Ted Lasso in his life. Everybody needs a Coach Beard in their life. Everybody.
Yeah.
So,
some really good shows.
Good shows,
there,
good
engaging.
Movies. I'm really excited about another player in the streaming service, and I think they're doing good stuff. I think the sort of approach taken by these two streaming services, Netflix and Prime, was originally to set themselves apart from traditional television. They did everything that was not allowed on traditional television. So nudity, violence, and they told very compelling stories through those instruments, because nudity and violence are part of everyday life, people's life.
Yeah.
And but it then, you know, sort of, I think somewhere I say it lost its, like, it became like a tool to create buzz about your show, but not really add to the story. Like, some shows just overdid it.
I mean, are you saying that those streaming services are just too dark now?
No, some of their shows, their mainstream shows have been getting darker in their tone. And then I said Disney Plus and Apple are these new entrants. You can't really call Disney new, but like new in streaming. And they have these light-hearted shows, and in COVID is going on, I don't want to watch like world getting over and everybody being fucked up in Game of Thrones. So yeah, I think
Ted Lasso is a good
Ted
like,
Lasso is
it's
like,
just the
show
it's
that
just
you need,
the
right?
Bomb that you need.
Even for All Mankind, like you're going to the moon, then you're going doing awesome shit. Mankind is doing Mankind stuff.
Okay, no spoilers here.
No spoilers. Anyway, so yeah. Really like Apple TV Plus. So yeah, now that I think $345 is very reasonable. Because I pay $800 for Netflix. And right now at least there is no show that I'm excited for on Netflix at all.
Okay, scandalous statement there, but sure.
What show are you?
I mean, I'm not that excited about any show because I'm not such a binge-watching person.
But we really wait for those Ted Lasso episodes and for All Mankind.
Hey,
and
I think we would be excited to, for example, catch the next season of Stranger Things.
I agree, but it's coming out in 2022. What are you going to... I mean, yeah, so Netflix has volume. The Good Doctor is a really good show. They have a lot of good shows on there. Nothing against Netflix. We do pay for it. And I think I really like the volume of content. There's a few shows that I regularly watch. A lot of anime I watch on Netflix. But I just think... I'm more excited about the few shows, like, you know, the kind of shows that you'd like talk about with your friends. I just think that two of those shows that I'm really excited about happen to be on Apple TV Plus. Anyway,
right.
So both of us have got iPad Pros.
I mean, I have not received.
We have more per capita iPad Pros than Tim Cook's house.
Okay, well, I have not received mine. It is on
yes.
the way. I don't know when it is going to be delivered.
The iPad Pro I got was so magical. It convinced Shubhra to sell. Not only have we gotten iPad Pros, we have sold our MacBooks to get iPad Pros. Like, it's
yeah.
like so bold. I'm so happy that, you know, so for me though, I have a MacBook from work. So it doesn't really make any difference to me. And my work laptop is also not like locked down. It's like pretty open. Unlike
mine.
Your
yeah.
work laptop, right? But I just think ki the world is moving into a place where you don't really need a full-fledged laptop to do all your work, right? I work in tech and I don't need it. I'm sure developers need it. I'm not a developer. I'm a product manager. I don't need it. But I just think ki iPads represent this new vision of computing, which slightly I'm excited about, slightly I'm worried about, but... matlab, the excitement part is the battery life is great, the display is great. It is so seamless to make it into a laptop with
a
magic keyboard.
I mean, I think we've run away here. Maybe for some context, basically what you have done is that you used to have a MacBook and you had an iPad, an older iPad and an Apple Pencil. You used your iPad and Apple Pencil for notes, etc.
Mm.
And you used your MacBook for actual work.
Yeah.
Then you sold both of those things and in exchange now have the large 12.9-inch
iPad
Pro
M1.
With the M1 chip as your main computing device.
Yeah.
So
with the magic keyboard.
With the magic keyboard. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, that's the context. So, what is your experience in terms of using it as your main computing
yeah,
device?
I love it. There are few things why I love it, which are very specific to it being an iPad and me using it as a computer.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. So, Google Calendar is a browser window
yeah.
in the PC, but it's an app on the iPad.
Okay.
And the app experience happens to be better, in my opinion, than the website experience, especially with notifications, widgets, and so on.
Okay.
Okay. Similarly, now you have Apple Calendar app on the PC, on the Mac, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But what ends up happening is you can't create events and also look at other people in your organization who use Google Calendar using the Apple Calendar app.
Okay.
But you can do it on the Google Calendar app, which is there on the iPad. Similarly, there are many, many apps which are basically websites on the desktop, but apps on the iPad, because iPad exists in this weird middle ground, right, between phone and laptop. So I get to use all of those apps, and a lot of them have been optimized for the big screen and for the iPad. They give me much better experience. At the same time, for those things that do not have an app, Safari has been upgraded to a full desktop class browser. So I can just use the website if I want to. For example, the Google Docs app on iPad sucks. So I use the Google Docs website on my iPad.
Okay.
Okay. The bad thing about it is on my MacBook, I can install any software I want. And on Apple, on my iPad, I'm limited by the App Store. And that is kind of like a very different vision of computing. You don't really own your device because Apple gets to decide whatever you can put on your computer. They can decide what kind of software you should and should not have on your computer, right? And I'm a very experimental person. I put a lot of random beta code on my laptop. I download things from GitHub, and all those things I can't do on the iPad. The only reason I still use it is because the polish of the software that does exist is quite a bit better than what existed on the Mac, and much better than what exists on the Windows, unless you're talking about Excel. Okay, if you're an Excel hardcore enthusiast, you can't use the iPad as your primary computer, like you. But other than that, I think it's great. I love it. All my company has a lot of web interfaces they have built for internal work. All of them load seamlessly. I generally like using iPad as my main computer. I just wish they open up the App Store, one. And second, they improve the multi-window support.
Multi-window support?
Like how many windows you can have. And the file management system. So three things.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. I will probably have more to say about this later when I get my iPad and start using it. But I will not...
It looks so magical.
I will, of course, not be able to use it for work because I am locked up. I have to use my work laptop with all its security measures, etc. for actual work. But a couple of things that I'm excited about, of course, I'm upgrading from a smaller screen size to a much larger screen size. So I really want to see how apps like Procreate work out for me in the larger screen that I will be getting. What else? I think I will only be able to talk about that experience once I've actually made this experimental move. Followed you, sold my laptops and exchanged my old iPad for this new one. So
let's go.
It works out. But yeah, I mean, it looks pretty. Definitely, I hope it lives up to its functionality wise. Also, it looks up. Like rises up to what it's supposed to be. That's it.
So I guess you've talked a lot about the functional benefits of being in the Apple ecosystem, right? But there are a lot of social benefits of being in the ecosystem as well. And like the fact of the matter is that these things are aspirational like objects in a country like India. Like I know these are at their core tools to get some job done, but you should evaluate them as such if you can. But you can't take away the aspirational nature of these things for most of us. And, like when you go on LinkedIn, you see so many people posting photos of their first MacBook that they got from their job and, bought it for themselves. And, there's a certain amount of, it's like what cars and houses used to represent for our parents back in the day. And now I think consumer electronics and specifically Apple products have taken up that spot and they occupy this place where, I would not say that we are as shallow as to determine some individual's self-worth from, what Apple products they own. But it does, like association with owning them does, like it brings a social, like if you had a fancy car, right? People would be like, oh, look at that guy, he has a fancy car, I'd like to get to know that guy. So I think Apple products have a similar halo effect on people. And
Of course, I mean, I get that. I look at my younger sister who is going to college now, and she's so excited to get her, I mean, she has a MacBook and Air, And she's just so excited to add my old iPad and the Apple Pencil to her
collection.
Repertoire of Apple products. And yeah, she's just so excited about that. So I get it. I get what you're leading to.
So so delve deeper into this discussion, I invited a friend of ours, Ronak, to the podcast because he has recently just dived headfirst into the Apple ecosystem and bought a bunch of Apple devices because he just left his job and went for an MBA and had been saving up for a while and he was like, fuck this shit, okay, and just spent a bunch of money. So we'll have him on and we'll discuss more about the social effects of Apple ecosystem and what his experience has been being a first time user of so many of these devices in the next half.
Cool, bye bye.
Hello everyone, I am Ronak Arora. I am good friends with Prasad and Mohit, so we all have ended up there. In terms of my background, I went to BITS with these guys. I studied mechanical engineering and a bit of finance. And I worked for a couple of years at JP Morgan. Currently, I'm a student again at IIM Calcutta. And also now an avid user of the Apple ecosystem. But we'll get into that later.
So yeah, I Prasad, I think very recently have started using a Apple product, which is my MacBook Air. But I think so far I've fairly maintained distance. And I think maybe this conversation with you guys today could sort of help me understand better as to why I should maybe give it a go and try more products and sort of get into the system. But yeah, Mohit. All right then, now that we know who we all are, not that we already did not know us, I just want to actually start with you, Mohit. Can you please tell me a little more about, the Apple ecosystem in general and this whole hava around exclusivity that we are going to today discuss around?
So I think, technically speaking, Apple is one of the few companies in the world who make hardware for all the different form factors that computers come in today, which is basically tablets, smartphones, and laptops. But they are different in the sense that not only do they make hardware, they also control software. They make their own operating system, which allows them to interconnect all of these devices and provide unique experiences, which is one way of looking at it. And the other way of looking at it is it allows them to lock their users into using their own devices because their devices won't work in anything else the way they work with devices that are made from Apple. So today, basically, we are going to get into it and sort of discuss it. I think in India, the Apple ecosystem has a very different perception because of taxes and the income levels people have. They are also the ecosystem is also an aspirational thing where if we go to LinkedIn and we check, everybody wants to post a photo of their own like devices that they have bought because it's a sign of success. It's a sign that there's a sort of wow factor attached to it. It's not as common as it is in North America. So I think we'll be getting into that bit also later on.
Awesome. I think primarily where I would like to, start off with is the origins, the beginning where you actually sort of thought that you should maybe give it a thought as to whether you want to have an Apple device or not. So I think Ronak, I'll come to you. So can you tell me a little more about what was your first Apple device? When did you buy it? What was going on in your mind around all that time? And why did you eventually settle upon having an Apple device, whatever that might be, as against any of the competitors?
Yeah, so my first ever Apple device came into the picture much before all my other devices, which have come in very recently only. So that was an iPad, iPad Air 3 to be specific, which I bought in January 2020. Now that was just a standalone product when I bought it. And Apple ecosystem in itself is not a product. It's just a byproduct, which comes in when you buy several Apple devices. But when I was buying an iPad, I did not have the ecosystem in mind. I was just buying one device. Why an iPad? Because at that point in time, my phone was sort of getting old, and there's only so much your phone can do. And my laptop was pretty old as well. And I did not want to go all out and invest in a laptop there and then, because I just needed a fun device, you know, a device where I could just watch my video content on whichever OTT platform I want to watch. I could have easy video calls with friends who are living in different cities, and it should be comfortable as a whole. And I was starting studying again. I was planning to prepare for CAT. So some device that would help me in that also. But I didn't want to go all out into a laptop. So an iPad became very easy for me to buy, because one feature of an iPad which goes very unnoticed, I can lie on my bed and I can keep it on myself and watch it without any discomfort, whatever I want to watch, and of course the rest of the users. Then came, so if I'm buying in this segment, the standout device is only iPad. Of course, there are other tablets in the market, Samsung's and other ones, and but my personal experience with them hasn't been very good. And they absolutely do not stack up with iPad when you're just looking at the individual devices. So at that time, because I wanted something mid-range between a phone and a laptop, and in that category, iPad was the best standalone device as well. So I ended up going for an iPad. And that's where it all started, I guess.
I think just adding to Ronak's point, just like, you know, we are talking about the Apple ecosystem, and most of the Apple products are really good, but the iPad is unique in the sense it is the only tablet that has seen continuous, like a lot of companies have tried their hands at tablet and sort of given up and then picked it up again. And iPad is the only one that stands out because they have been able to keep at it for so long. So at this point, basically, it's just out there the best tablet. Like if you look at the market share also, like iPad has like some 50% market share. So it is insane how good the iPad is, just because they have just, I think it's just because they've kept at it for so long.
So Bohit, you said that the other companies or the other competitors, they haven't really like kept at it in the race towards sort of making a better tablet. Can you, like, what are your thoughts around this? Why do you think maybe Samsung or other like companies haven't really like invested so much in this direction?
So I think, I say the first iPad was just a giant iPhone, and nobody thought it would sell except Steve Jobs, because everybody thought, what would people do with a giant iPhone? Except people really loved a giant iPhone. And they were like, we'll watch videos and read on it and do a lot of shit on it. And then all the companies from that point on were sort of making copies. So that didn't go well, because people could just buy the original thing. And it was not also very overpriced. Like it was not like a premium price, like a premium device. It was priced reasonably. So what ended up happening was already the companies were playing catch up. And in the middle, Google really started putting out a lot of these good Nexus devices. It's just that, you know, like any business, but is tough. But the hardware business is really tough. You have to have a few generation of products to get it absolutely right. And that kind of financial risk is difficult to take for companies. They try it halfway. Okay. And the other thing is, Apple always controlled the destiny of what iPad could be by controlling the software as well. And what happened to other manufacturers were they were sort of dependent on Google for the software. And Google itself wasn't clear whether it wanted Android on tablet to be its own thing or for it to be just a bigger version of Android. So they made this entire separate version of Android for tablets called Honeycomb, but gave it up within 1 year. And so they were not consistent. The manufacturers were not consistent. And I think in the end, they lost her. Yeah. I think I would say my first device was iPhone 4, but iPad was really the Apple device I actually used a lot. And it seems to be the case for you also. So what were you using it for? And like, if you could explain us, how did you like what did you get out of it?
Yeah. So immediately a few things I got out of it were, first of all, as I said, I could, after a long day of work, I could just lie down on my bed and just put something on that iPad and just fall asleep or whatever. And you doing it with a laptop is not very comfortable in a way, I feel. I don't like the weight on my stomach or chest if I'm choosing to lie down that way or whatever. Then, as you know, I was studying. So I had to watch a lot of videos as well. And pretty soon we went into a completely video mode. So whatever I was studying for, I would have to watch a lot of videos. All the classes would be online. All the material would be available online. If I had to do practices, that would be online as well. An iPad was just a perfect device for that. And another thing I loved with the space part is when I'm sitting on the table, it just takes no space at all. It's just super thin. It just stands there and takes no space at all. So it made everything convenient in a student way, even though I was not properly a student then. Another thing that really it put me into was a bit of an introduction to the Apple ecosystem, you can say. So I could use iMessage and FaceTime for the first time because of it. And I had a couple of friends who were using it already. And it was just such a good video conferencing platform at the time. And I really enjoyed using it. And with the iPad, of course, you can just hold it up. And the screen is so big, literally, it's the size of your face. So if you're talking to someone, their face almost looks like the actual size of their face. So in itself, it was pretty good.
So then what was your next Apple purchase after having bought the iPad?
Yeah, so for...
I mean, I'm not asking, I'm not considering the charger as your next purchase.
No, of course. Back then, it used to come with a box, so it wasn't really a purchase. So my next purchase after my iPad in January 2020 was actually in June 2021. So you can say last month only. And it was actually a series of three purchases. So first of all, this was after I got accepted into IIM Calcutta. So and my phone and laptop were old as they were in 2020. So they were absolutely very old right now. And I could just not go into a hardcore student mode using those devices. So I had to switch. So first of all, I ordered an iPhone and it came in. I set it up and everything. And I was really excited for it. The iPad experience was so good. That because of it, even though I wasn't aware of the ecosystem as much because I hadn't used it hands-on, I just still wanted to buy an Apple device because Apple iPads are so good, so iPhones have to be good. So that was just one thing. And of course, there's a lot of social cloud that goes around. Like if I'm going into college, I may or may not become it, but at least I'll throw my hat in for being the cool kid around. So... of course, I went for an iPhone and it came in. And the first thing I wanted to do was, okay, switch all my basic necessities out of my Android phone to my iPhone. The first thing I tried to switch was WhatsApp and it just didn't work. It just did not want to work. And I talked to Mohit only around that time. He has jumped around from Android to Apple quite a bit in the last decade. So... his advice was just screw it. Just let it go. Just let it die out. Just start fresh on Apple and just never go back. And a lot of people before that also gave me advice that try the software, try that. Nothing really worked. It was really irritating. And just the never go back thing, I was like, yeah, it's just one time. No, I'll just never go back. And of course, Apple devices, as they upgrade, you can just shift seamlessly. Just that Android to Apple, if you're carrying all that baggage metaphorically and literally with Android, then shifting all of that to Apple can become difficult. So beyond when I let it out of my mind, when my frustration about not having my WhatsApp chats, I don't even know if they were valuable or not having them backed up on my iPhone. When I let it out, then everything else was pretty good. A few things were like, the tracking part, it asked me that, should we allow this app to track only while using or always or never and all of that. So there was a lot of paranoia, of course, going on about the privacy of our data on our electronic devices. So I may or may not really worry about all the technicalities, but it just gives you a lot of peace of mind when it basically lets you have the control or the illusion of the control, whichever it is. And it was definitely the best second device for me to go to, because now I could put my cell phone, my SIM card into an iPhone, and it was, my phone number was part of the Apple ecosystem now. Now my FaceTime, which I was already using on my iPad, was linked to my phone number. My iPad, my iMessage was linked to my phone number, and people could just find me easily. Otherwise, if I have to FaceTime anyone, I'll tell them, okay, this is my FaceTime email ID. Type this in so you can call me. Now my number is always in their contacts. Mm-hmm. If they're going to call me, and they can just call me right up. So it all, you know, started to come together on the first day itself. And yeah.
You, Ronak mentioned the word baggage, and Ronak mentioned, I think in his case, I think specifically because he did not have something, let's say, to compare with around the iPad, or his phone, I mean, the Android phone that he was using had also gotten old. Mohit, I think in your case, you specifically made a transition, and you have made several transitions between using an Android phone to an Apple phone. So how does that work out? And I mean, what is this baggage that Ronak is, you know, talking about? Can you sort of detail out on that?
Yeah, so I bought a Note 20 Ultra, which is also like a very expensive phone, or as expensive as the iPhone that I own. And I was using WhatsApp on that phone, it synced with Google Drive. When you use WhatsApp on the iPhone, it syncs with iCloud. So because the cloud storage is different, you can't sync chats across it. Now, technically, Apple could allow iCloud on iPhone, but they have no incentive to do that. And I would rather my data be with Apple than Google. Knowing that all companies will eventually sort of try to profit off you, I know that Apple is at least already profiting off me from buying the devices, so that incentive to profit. So, like, that was one thing. And then there are other hiccups also. Basically, it's just the different ecosystem, right? You use your Google account to save all your settings on Android and all your apps and backup data. And on iOS, you use your Apple account. So once you migrate, you can't take all of that data. Even though Apple has made a transition app, and they try to do like for Android, and they try to make it easy. But that hiccup is always there. Lekin, what I would say is, having used a really expensive Android phone, and a really, like, iPhones are by default expensive, so an iPhone, I would just say ki the experience of using an iPhone is far better, no matter. I know ki a lot of people will come at me, but like, they don't know what they're talking about, because we have already done a podcast, right, on phones and why the iPhone is better. Ek toh, Samsung does not sell the same version of its expensive phones in India that it sells abroad. So you are basically getting an inferior device, and you pay the same money. So like, that is there. So I would like to be treated like the rest of the consumers all over the world, right? And then on top of that, they are just the ecosystem. Like, I had a MacBook before my iPhone, and I could just airdrop files. I could airdrop the documents, as I said, I was scanning. I could airdrop a lot of movies onto my iPhone and watch them. And that made my life pretty easy.
I sort of feel both of you guys missed one point, which is both of you guys also own AirPods. So what about that? How has that experience been? Because, you know, I mean, other things feel very linked. I mean, I can say my MacBook and my iPhone and my iPad, all of those are linked because I can transfer files and I can do a bunch of things. I can FaceTime and all. But why AirPods? Why are AirPods as compared to other audio devices? And how does, I mean, exclusivity come with the AirPod?
Yeah, I'd like to take that if you'd like me. So I have been using my AirPods for exactly one day now. And it already feels revolutionary in a way.
Long enough.
Yeah, so I already had a very good pair of earphones. They were Samsung Bluetooth earphones, which were slightly on the expensive side, and I got it from free from where I was working. They were working perfectly fine, and I just did not have that push to change early on. When a month ago I bought my MacBook and my iPhone. But as the tragedy is that I am studying virtually. So a friend of mine, we often get into calls to discuss what's going on. And if nothing's going on, we just put on Netflix party and watch that. So she was getting really tired of me in the sense that my earphones would always disconnect. We'd be really in the thick of a movie and suddenly my earphones would go off and I'll have to pause the Netflix party until I'll get a text from her. Earphones, question mark, I'll be like, yes, and she'll say, oh. And it was just happening over and over again. And because I'm using three devices simultaneously, it just becomes too much of a hassle that I'm watching a movie with her on Netflix party. And then she calls me again on my iPhone. Then I have to switch my Bluetooth. I have to turn off my MacBook Bluetooth. Then I have to turn on my iPhone Bluetooth and then connect the device again, which takes a bit of time, of course, because they're not made to sync with each other that fast. And then I have to get into a call and she or whoever the other person is on the call and just wait there and have to get me ready. And what has happened since I got it yesterday is I can just seamlessly switch. I had to connect it once. Even though I have three devices, as soon as it came, I just connected it to my iPhone and it was automatically already connected to my MacBook and iPad just there. So another ecosystem point comes in. And it can stay connected to multiple devices. And I try not to do that so I can put my head towards what I'm listening only. So, and it's still, again, if I'm trying to run it on one device at a time, it's just one single click. As soon as I click on the AirPods in my Bluetooth list, it just connects right there and then. So there's a chip, again, it comes around to hardware. So Apple, the standard, the full-on devices, the iPhones, Mac and iPad have their own hardware and chips, of course, and now AirPod also has a specific chip which just makes it so damn easy to pair. And the first time I also paired, I was like, I got it out of the box and the first question was, how do I set it up? And do I open the instruction manual? Because that is my go-to instinct whenever I get anything new, any device, electronic or not. And then
anyone's
it was like,
instinct. I mean,
any sane person's instinct, I'd say. And I thought, yeah, it's Apple, so it should be really intuitive, right? That's their point. And I took it out, I flipped the lid open on the AirPods, and they appeared on my iPhone right there and then. And I was like, yeah, that's it. Because I was putting it up for the first time, it asked me for permission, that should I connect to this? And I said, go ahead. It renamed those AirPods to Ronak's AirPods. It connected there and then to all of my devices across. So ever since then, the calls have been just really easy. I have never had a drop in since my AirPods got suddenly disconnected from my Apple device for no reason. Now we can look at it in two ways. Why are two devices which are supposed to do such a function only? Like my Samsung earphones and my laptop are still supposed to connect over Bluetooth and work perfectly fine, which most of the time they do, but sometimes they stop working at the most crucial moments. And these things, as with any other case and with the case with any other thing in Apple, they just work. I just don't have to think twice about it. I just know they just work. I just open it, I just put them in, and they just work. And that, I think, is the best part of the last 24 hours in my life altogether. So this, that, it doesn't have to be difficult. And just getting the simple things right just works.
Got it. I think I have one more, you know, thing that I'd really like to ask is how Mohit described initially that when he first started using the iPhone, there were certain things that he, I mean, the ones that he could do with his Android phone and he couldn't with the iPhone, right? For example, using certain kinds of apps, I mean, using torrents and all that. I think getting copies of, ripped copies of games and all is easier for, easier to, you know, get and install on your Android devices or your, you know, Microsoft devices. So how do you navigate those challenges? I mean, I'm sure that, you know, you don't have a hack for everything. So what do you do about that, Mohit?
Can you repeat it? Your voice broke in the last second.
Okay. I was saying, there are certain things that Apple still doesn't, you know, directly allow you to do, right? For example, using torrent sites and, installing RIP software and all that. So, like, how do you tackle things like that? Do you, like, simply not use those softwares? Or, I mean, what is sort of your go-to strategy here?
I mean, I say all the popular apps are for cross-platform. And most of the popular apps are free. Here or there, there are a few apps that you would like to buy, and I think you can buy them. It isn't really like apps in itself are not really the make or break. I think as a student, it was difficult. Ek to because you don't have that as a net banking setup and everything that you need to do online transactions, which were not very, very popular in India also at that time. But now because everybody is familiar with e-commerce, it's just one more e-commerce transaction. And most apps are as a 50 to 60 rupees. And if it's a really complicated app, it's a 200-300 rupees. And then you have it for the rest of your life. So it kind of, as a phone apps ko rip karna is not like a use case that is a, I don't think a lot of Android users also do it. Like somebody who really, really wants like a pirated version of a game or something might do it, might send an APK or something. But mostly people just don't do it. Like on Android, if it's not that popular, then it's not really a deal breaker. And it has never been a deal breaker for me personally. Also, I found the apps on the iPhone to be of higher quality. The apps that I've paid for, and I've paid for very few apps. I've paid for Notability on my iPad to take notes. And I've paid for like a habit tracker to track my habits. And they've just been really high quality. And they work really well. And I felt like the little bit of money that I paid for it, like less than what I would spend on a cup of coffee if I went out, is worth it. Matlab, it adds that much value to my life. And I don't really see that as a use case that sort of deters me from using the iPhone in any way.
All right. I think one last thing that sort of comes to my mind, and obviously I think everyone keeps talking about it. There are, I mean, so many jokes that come up on social media, which is about how are Apple devices priced, right? I mean, you have on one side, you have your iPhone 12 Pro Max, which is, I guess, priced around $1,400. The same price at which you can like get a PS5, 6 month subscription of Xbox Game Pass, get Netflix, get a couple of games and like do get a lot more things at the same price range, right? So, I mean, pricing has always been something that Apple has sort of maintained that, you know, they will be a cut above the rest. So what are your thoughts around that? Do you feel as someone who's maybe starting up, do you think that that is like a worthy enough investment to push your budget to be able to sort of just right. get into that?
So it depends on how much money you have, of course. I'm not saying people who don't have the money to just start taking EMIs from the iPhone. I just feel like if you are going to spend a certain
I'll rephrase.
Hold on. I would say ki, if you're going to spend a certain amount of money on a phone, right? And there are expensive Android phones also, equally expensive outlandish Android phones also, then at any price point, you would be better off spending on an iPhone. And if you are going to spend a little bit less and get a cheaper Android phone, but you can probably extend it a little bit, iPhones retain the resale value far more than Android phones. They also get software updates far longer than Android phones. and just say are sort of have more sort of shelf life. So you would be better off spending that extra money. If like you are going to buy a 40,000-50,000 phone, you can say spring like 10,000-20,000 more, then you can probably think about that.
Got it.
Yeah, just adding to that, like the shelf life part, because when I'm buying an iPhone or a Mac, I know like I'm good for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, as long as I want to stretch it. But there's another joke that goes around with fancy laptops that or computers that we buy outside the Apple's space, of course, that today I'm buying the latest thing. It has all the features that exist in the market and all of that. And 3 days later, it's out of date because the Windows space is so vast and so unregulated at times that things just go out of date every second. And the same with Android phones, which I've used, even though I've stretched them out to 2 to 3 years, but after 1 year, they were just like, yeah, this is no good anymore. Max 1.5 years, you'll get the latest Android updates, then you'll stop getting those. It'll start getting slow. The RAM would not be enough. The apps, because the Android OS is updating so fast, the apps are just keeping up and updating so fast, getting heavier. And your Android phones eventually become slower, as do your Windows computers as well. But of course, I don't have that sort of background with this. My iPad in 1.5 years has not felt old for a second. It has been the same thing as I bought. It has got all the upgrades that I needed. It has never lagged on me once. So judging by that, I think, and judging by other people's experience, my close friends' experience with iPhones and MacBooks, they just don't really get old. When you probably have the funds or in the mood to upgrade, you can always do that. But yeah, just because I have an iPhone 12, I won't have to switch for iPhone 13. Probably not even for 14, 15 might be the good time to get it. And then also it will just be old rather than irrelevant. So the relevance that they keep throughout their lifetime just makes the value worth it. I wouldn't call anything like this an investment ever. I think that's just a loose misuse of the term. These are all expenses, but what you get out of these expenses just make them more justified with the longevity that they provide and the quality over that period. It's just not a device lasting 3 years. It's that device being relevant while you use it for 3 years. And I think that is much more of a case with Apple justifying the expense a bit more. Still on the expensive side, but it's getting more and more justified every day.
I think in India, it also feels more expensive because of the kind of taxes we have. Like, whereas you said, right, $1,400 is the cost of iPhone, but that's the cost of iPhone 12 Pro Max in the US. In India, it's close to $2,000. So it just feels more expensive because the device is absolutely more expensive while relatively people are less over there. Right. And people always love to, I say, dunk on expensive products. So it's kind of an easy target to dunk on. And I also feel if you look at some of the unique experiences me and you, Prasad, have been able to have, like, you know, we are able to watch these TV shows on Apple TV Plus that have been really, really good. And it's just like interesting to be a part of. I sort of get, you feel a bit exclusive. Like, there's no streaming service that is limited to just the Android phones. So, there is that. And like Ronak said, right, when you buy a pair of AirPods and you see it magically sync up with all the three devices that you own, it creates like a sense of wow factor in you. Everything is very seamless. If you copy something on your MacBook, you can paste it on your iPhone. That seems really like, that is like a handy feature I use for copying OTPs all the time. If you are FaceTiming with people, you can get the call on your MacBook, iPad, iPhone, whichever device you have handy at that time, you can receive calls on. And it just sort of goes to show that all of these things are really thought. In fact, in a new update that is coming to the MacBooks, what's happening is if you have your iPad placed to the side of your MacBook and you're using your trackpad, you can basically pick up a file and then drag and drop it right over to your iPad, and your mouse will just transition to your iPad. And it's like kind of these kind of features that I mean, I think it's sort of unfair for to expect Microsoft to be able to do this because they don't make their own phones and tablets. But, you know, at the end of the day, you are the consumer and you are getting more for your money. Mm-hmm. Having said that, just to keep it fair, certain problems the Apple does create. Like Ronak wali jo problem hai, they could have easily allowed Google Drive to be a backup option. To be a backup option for WhatsApp, right? It's not really that big a deal. There are just a little bit problems. Like it's a monopoly at the end of the day. And matlab, it's like, you know, Shubhra, my girlfriend, bought the OnePlus Buds and they have quick sync with Windows phones and other Android phones. And these phones use an open standard, which is not as good as the ones AirPods use. But Apple could have easily supported it, but they don't. Like, they're like, AirPods work in this special way, and we are not going to let anything else work in this special way. So yeah, they sort of, it's a walled garden, but one that I don't mind being inside. Like, it's kind of like living, like, it's chill.
Yeah, it might be a technological prison, but everything inside is just top notch. So it's like, is there any other place that you'd rather be? So the only thing is freedom, but even if you have the freedom, where do you want to go? So of course, that wall is not a good thing. Of course, you would always want to keep freedom with you, but even by not having it, it doesn't feel like a big thing you're missing out on, basically.
I think what's happened is we have started to look at our computers as appliances. Where I say, when you buy a fridge, right, you don't really look up what is the capacity of its condenser. You just look how big the fridge is. Will it fit all my food items? And that's enough. And sort of computers have been around for so long, but Apple is probably one of the only companies that have sort of made these things like appliances where you look at the form factor that you want, the screen size, the physical dimensions of it, and you sort of expect it to work. You don't really need to know about the RAM, the hard drive speed, the sort of software update wala part. It's an appliance at the end of the day that needs to get a job done. And the moment like you are thinking about how is this thing working, will it have enough RAM, is the screen bright enough? Like, we are at least all three of us are engineers, but it definitely, like, to us it might still make a little bit of sense. But it definitely doesn't make sense for somebody who's like non-tech, you know, not a tech student. They'll be like, yeah, just it looks nice and it works as intended. So that's what I'm spending my money on.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I was just going to come to that. That you know, sometimes it almost feels as if you know, I mean, the similar price Samsung phone will have a camera which has, let's say, 5 megapixel more capacity than your normal iPhone, you know, cameras, right? I mean, similarly about RAM and storage settings as well. I mean, the S20 Plus definitely has more RAM than the same iPhone, which comes in that price range. So I feel if you just purely just see on a numbers basis, sometimes it feels as if, you know, Apple is giving you lesser at a, you know, more premium cost. But I think what you guys are implying is sort of there is like an overall experience which is covering for that. And a normal user might not really, at the end of the day, I mean, when we buy, we think about these things too much, right? Okay, this is 12 megapixel, this is 14. So this is definitely going to be better. But after, you know, a couple of days of using that phone, you're not going to think about, okay, I have a 14 megapixel phone. You're only going to think about the kind of pictures that it takes. So as long as that value is delivered, I guess your question is resolved.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if one thing I could, if I wanted to improve in this ecosystem, what I would improve is affordability. Like, it's obviously very expensive for us. And all three of us are very privileged in the sense we have done very well for our life, ourselves, and we can afford these things. And, you know, I just think the main critique comes from the kind of people who have not really used these devices. And I think computing is like, it just elevates your existence. You get more access to information, it's easier for you to consume media. So the easier it is for other people to access and have these experiences. and it would be awesome. And I would also like, say, other companies to make moves in similar directions, because then Apple would, say, have to, like, I would like to see them compete also in this ecosystem thing, because you never hear any other, you don't hear about the Microsoft ecosystem or the nobody is like talking about the Samsung ecosystem and how they are, you know, really glad to be in the Samsung ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a major thing, because Apple is doing great. But it's still competing against itself only. It is asking the customer what they want. Even the silliest feature they ask for, they try to put it in. But I think it will be just pushed to different limits if someone was trying to compete with it. And I think other devices, they're trying to compete with themselves, within themselves quite a bit. As we were discussing earlier, that these things just work. Within the Windows and Android devices, the word compatibility is used and is needed to be used much more than it should be. Ever since I bought an Apple device, I haven't heard or read the word compatibility ever. Not with the apps I use, not with the different form of devices I'm using, but anything. If I'm not able to run an app on Windows, one of the troubleshooting things is right-click, go to compatibility and run it with a different make-believe compatibility setting just to make it function in a certain way. So compatibility becomes your responsibility. And rather than creating an ecosystem, it feels like you are not even inside one device that you own, and you're still responsible for that compatibility. While I'm here, compatibility in itself, in the device and across the devices, is Apple's responsibility, not mine, or the app maker's responsibility to ensure that they deliver that. So I think that coherence, so if you let a lot of individuals in terms of individual companies and individual developers work on that, it's good, but getting their thoughts aligned and creating an end user experience is somewhere sometimes lost in that. So just starting with making their own devices very streamlined and then bringing in partnering devices could really work for a firm. And of course, there are firms who can afford the investment. Might be one or two only, but the Apple ecosystem is getting talked about a lot, and it's possibly the best customer retention strategy currently in the electronics market. I don't understand why other companies are like not trying to like get in on it. Of course, they have their reasons beyond my understanding. That's why I'm saying this, but yeah, I think there's potential in that for anyone else.
Got it. I think one last thing that, you know, we'll want to talk about before we sort of close this out would be, let's say, what is that one very unique thing that of this ecosystem that, you know, you personally feel is sort of going to be a reason that is going to keep you on it and, you know, might never sort of, you'll never leave it again. So what is that sort of one feature or one sort of aspect of it that you would that you really really love personally? Mohit, maybe you can take the first one.
That's an interesting question. I think it's just iPad, like itself. Like, I love my iPad, and it works better when I have a MacBook and iPhone. I think the iPad is such an amazing device, and I think it's like the future of computing as well. Like, laptops are sort of getting old and obtuse, and iPads are sort of, you know, and even on the Windows side, like the Surface tablets, but iPad as the leading tablet and also less than all-round amazing product makes me want to stay in the ecosystem. I can switch my phone, okay, and like, okay, like I won't like it that much, but, or I might also like it, but I'm just saying you know, I can switch my phone and there will be a little bit of friction. But what other premium Android tablet am I going to get that is going to, like, you, there's just no tablet. Like, there's no tablet. Like, there are apps that I use on iPhone that are so good. On the iPad, like the Notability app. The Notability app is insane. It's so good. it's just out of this world. Okay, it does amazing handwriting recognition. It does amazing shape recognition. It is just a top-notch app. Okay, and there are so many apps like that are iPad exclusive. Not even iPad and iPhone exclusive, just iPad exclusive. And it's just like, for me, it's like a major reason to, like, I just sold my personal MacBook to buy an iPad. That's not how much I like the iPad. Like, you know that. So yeah, iPad is going to be the reason I'm going to stay, keep using the Apple ecosystem.
Right, right. What about you, Ronak?
Yeah, so my answer is related to iPad also, but in a very different sort of a way. So in hindsight, the ideal world that we were living in, man, I could just wake up and walk into my office. My firm at the time had given me a computer with two monitor screens. And it just made my convenience of working with them, productivity, efficiency just go through the roof. Just because I could have two screens up there. And that is definitely one of the biggest things that I've missed about using computers ever since going working. And I was just using a laptop, single screen laptop for my work, even after going back. So that was the major downside that I felt. And now I can cover it with having a Mac and an iPad. And the feature currently is called Sidecar, where basically you don't have to connect any wires, you don't have to do anything. You can just click a button and your iPad becomes monitor number two for your MacBook. And it just works. You don't even have to set it up or do anything. Just select it and it just works. And even I'm doing like basic academic things. If I have questions open on one end, I can have the answer booklet open on the other end.
Want a Zoom call on one side? And
yeah.
You want to take notes?
Yeah, Zoom call on one side. I have the case that we are discussing open on one screen, and the Zoom video is going on another screen. So that just makes it so easy for me to use. There is, so it still is not perfect by any means. There is a drawback. So I want to set up my iPad in front of me. It's like really easy to put into place anywhere I want to, and just turn on my Zoom call there and keep working on my laptop, my MacBook. Meanwhile, but I cannot do that using Sidecar, because if I want a Sidecar, the camera is still the MacBook camera that gets used all the time, and I'm using only one processing center. So the iPad is just a screen for me, and all the things are just happening on my MacBook and it's just getting displayed there. But that is getting resolved in the new OS coming in soon. So the WWDC event, the new Mac OS and the new iOS and the new iPad OS. So they are creating this universal control ecosystem where it makes it 100% better for me. I can have my iPad set up where my video comes out perfectly for my calls or my classes. And I don't have to project my screen there. I can use the iPad itself with the keyboard and mouse on my MacBook. So my keyboard and mouse become control pads for both my iPad working in itself and my MacBook at the time. So I can just drag my mouse across and just go into the iPad and just use iPad as is, with my trackpad and my keyboard. So I am dying for it to come out. I did not know that it took a few months after the WWDC announcement to come out. The moment it came out at night, next day I was like, where's the update? I want the update, because this is the best thing I want. So I'm very heavy Sidecar user already. If I get that universal remote or the universal control update as soon as I can, that would just make everything so easy. And the synergy between that, like the old Indian ek aur ek gyara wali saying that would happen with my Mac and iPad after getting that, would just be insane.
Got it. I hope you get the update very, very soon.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think thank you guys for this talk. I have been thinking about sort of upgrading, sort of changing my own setup, but I always get stuck on what is at least let's say the first device that I should start with, or maybe the price is too high. So I think this conversation helped. Maybe I might make my next Apple purchase very soon. And if something goes wrong, I'm going to blame it on you. But yeah, it was nice conversing about it.